The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. What have we so far gotten out of the show? Well, yeah, we've done some analysis here, and since Elizabeth Warren is talking about gay marriage reparations, that they have to go back a significant period because tax policy has been different if you were gay and married than if you were heterosexual and married. Therefore, since the tax law was unfair, there should be reparations that will that should go back. Now, we have stated that for single people here on the show that it's completely and totally unfair that single people have to pay more because they can't take the deductions, which means it is the single people that are paying for the decisions of married people. So we have proposed the singles reparation. And I will talk a little bit later on today with my buddy Independent Bob, who has been promoting something like this for the longest time to me every time I talk to him, it seems. But also Bernie Sanders then talking about paying off all student loans, right? Not just people that are delinquent right now, all student loans, $1.6 trillion, be paid off. Every single college student that has a student loan would be paid off by the federal government completely,
right?
And every public college and trade school would be free from this point on, which brings us now to college loan reparations for those of us over the last 30 years that paid off our college loans. We won't talk about me never using.
You never had one.
Yeah, I did. Loan. Yeah, I did.
Do you have a $1,000 loan?
I had a $1,000 college loan. I never touched it. I collected interest for the four years on it.
we should then ramp that up based on inflation. What would $1,000 back in 1922 have been today? What would that be for inflation?
I think I could have bought one of the first cars. Well, Yale was as good school back then,
right?
No, but I took out I've told this story before. I took out $1,000 and I put it in the bank. And it sat in the bank for 4 years, and I collected interest on it. And then there was the day that you would start accruing interest and had to start making monthly payments. But if you paid it before that date, you just paid the principal and you walked away. You know, so just went and gave him $1,000 and I was done. And my father gave me the idea. He said, well, look, take out the loan and don't use it. Because that's free money for four. Don't use it. Collect the interest on it for 4 years and then pay it off.
There you go.
And that's what I did. I would probably get punished for that.
Today?
Yeah, under this new rule. I would not be.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't think I wouldn't be allowed reparations, would I?
No.
Because I made interest.
Because you actually made money off of it.
I scammed the system.
Well, but
I found
I
found a loophole.
No, you'd be scamming the system if you didn't go to college.
That's true.
You paid the loan back through working to pay it along the way.
I'm not talking about how us critical thinkers think about it.
You're
I was
not
thinking
using
of the Democrats.
Reality. Exactly.
I'm not using reality.
Sorry, I forgot.
Well, no, it's my fault. Completely my fault.
Yeah.
I have to make sure because I make this mistake once in a while. Or when I start giving my opinion, and it's not really my opinion, it's the opinion of how the Democrats would argue it. And so a few times people will take that and not understand that's where I'm going with it. So, no, that's the argument from the Democrats, that I scammed the system because I made interest off that money.
Mm-hmm.
But then we came up with the idea, since everybody's talking reparations now and they keep adding on more, as Elizabeth Warren did, then the idea came up. It was one of our listeners who came up with the idea. Well, what about those people that have paid off their college loans? Should they get reparations?
Right.
And how far should it go back? So there you go.
Yeah, I didn't go to college, so... Wait, I'm trying to work this in. Hold on. So...
I understand. I think I know where you're going.
All right.
I'm not sure, but I think I do, and I agree.
I did not create a risk... Man, I'm really struggling here. For the taxpayer...
No.
What?
You didn't cost the taxpayer anything.
Right. That's what I mean. I did not create a risk for the taxpayer by taking out the loan.
Right. You should get should get reparations.
So, therefore, the taxpayer should pay me for
for doing nothing.
For not costing the taxpayer anything. Ah, see what I did there? Call AOC's office. She'll be able to get it out. She can float that idea. She can get it done. She's a master of that kind of nonsense.
Bizarre things that we can't explain.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think
when
I got
saying
it.
What the Democrats should do, she could explain it.
Yeah, yeah. I think I got it. I think I got it. We'll just, you know. Brian, get AOC on the phone. Mm-hmm. So. We're going to call her. We're going to call her at 4:12 a.m. Yeah. Hey, AOC, let me run this by you. I'm trying to figure out how I get more money from the government. See, we told you, we warned you folks. You know, everybody gets in line for government handouts. Eric and Gary are no exception. We actually came up with the idea, remember, of if we were to just fake it on global warming. I mean, kind of like, we know everybody else is faking it too, but
right.
Ours would be, we leave this cush gig as billionaires here at the two chief billionaires at Red Eye Radio, as one caller called us, billionaires. And then we go on the road and we promote the nonsense and we charge people for that, but also we would want a grant from the federal government. We're just asking for $1.6 trillion to take our man-made global warming tour on the road. We think it would be worth it because you're going to save the planet. We only have 12 years, so we want to do it in two.
Now, we would just turn off our email and not be on social media because our audience would probably call us traitors.
Yeah, which would be correct, but we wouldn't care because we got $1.6 trillion. We'd hire people. We're going to hire people to take care of that. Yeah.
The left would love us. They converted.
Yes. They would use it everywhere. Yeah. Well, because that actually is the tactic of the left. We have a former Republican prosecutor that says Trump should be in jail. So? I mean, they do that all the time, so they would love us. Two former conservative talk show hosts. By the way, that would bite just a little bit. Them saying former conservative talk show or former conservative. Yeah. Just hearing that every time, I'd have to bite my lip going, yeah.
Okay. Well, in essence, we'd be lobbyists. And so.
Yeah, right.
In a way, we'd be lobbyists. So I don't think I could be a lobbyist.
No, I could be. I mean, we're talking about $1.6 trillion. We'd be on with Stephanopoulos and.
Nobody would ask. Well, you're right. Nobody would ever ask us a tough question. That's right. Just simply get off social media.
Right.
Do the interviews. It would all be softball questions.
Right. It would be, when did you realize you were so wrong? Oh, well, George, it was very clear.
When Trump became president.
Yeah, that's genius because it would walk. That would be what. Of course. And then, you know, I mean, he would be smiling. He'd have his big smile there. Stephanopoulos and yes, like you mean like a lot of people. Yes. And then Bill Kristol would be over there high-fiving us. Woo-hoo! George Will. Woo-hoo!
George Will, I think I'll give those guys another chance.
Yes, exactly. Man. That could be a thing. We could be doing some really wrong things.
Wow. And every answer. When Trump became president.
Yeah.
When did you decide to just totally toss all of your conservative credentials when we realized Trump endorsed some of them and therefore we disliked him?
Well, you know.
We loathed and hated him and therefore we changed all of our opinions on all the issues.
Well,
and nobody, they'd never follow up and say how. They'd go,
And you would have to bring in, for me, I would like, because we're going to have fun with it. All right? You don't take it too far to make it too obvious. But we would reveal something in the Stephanopoulos interview. Something like a Robert Johnson crossroads story, right? We had this revelation. We had this epiphany. We saw, and one night, right in the middle of our show, we walked outside behind our old warehouse that we were broadcasting in at Red Eye Radio, and we made a deal with the devil or Hillary Clinton, and we could, you know, either one work, frankly, and you build this big story because the more dramatic you make it,
right,
the more the left buys into it.
Well, we decided to change our ideology because we saw the demonization and the misogyny of the Republicans that was being thrown at AOC and Representative mm-hmm. Omar
right.
and Tlaib, and we just said we can't handle that any longer, and so we decided that and they would be like Handsome Dan on mm-hmm. Wayne's World.
Right. Uh-huh, 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 yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh. As he's doing something else, not listening.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And except they would be all enthusiastic about it. They would actually be listening and going, yeah, we know what you mean.
And then whatchamacallit, Howard Dean would give a Handsome Handsome Dan scream.
Yeah.
Remember the scream?
Yeah, yeah.
Wayne's World.
You could,
Handsome
of course,
Dam.
and then, of course, inevitably the question would be, well, what do you think of Trump now? He's Hitler. I mean, it's so easy. The interviews would be
I know.
Easy.
And we can make millions of dollars doing that.
Man.
Can you imagine if you just tuned in halfway through this?
Yeah, we have.
And you're a loyal listener to our show, and you don't know where we started on this, and
forget about that. But what about the one of the, or many of the great program directors of our great stations, you know, hundreds of them, getting up in the middle of the night to get water, you know, and they turn it on, I'll check on the station, you know. Because if you're a program director, you live it. If you're up
right.
in the middle of the night,
right.
you turn it on. And they get up, you know, it's like 4:18 Eastern, and they're turning it on. They're going, what happened? what is going on? I didn't get an emergency alert system sounder or anything. It's like zombie apocalypse. What happened to Eric and Gary? But the thing is that it is in the political world, you'll see that. I mean, we obviously take it to the extreme and
yes.
have fun with it.
Yes.
But you see that all the time. You know, oh, this former Republican believes that Trump is the... I mean, it happens everywhere.
Yeah, unfortunately... It doesn't matter whether it's a reformer Republican says this
right.
about Trump
no,
or a former or a conservative says this about Trump. All that matters is the substance of the argument
yes.
there or not.
Well, you're
That's
using
what it
logic.
Comes down to. I know. Now I'm back to being me.
Rest assured, program directors, we're okay. But the thing is, they think it works. They think it works. I don't think it works with the far left even. But those in the media that are doing those types of stories and those kind of tactics, they believe it works. It clearly doesn't work with critical thinkers, but I don't think it really matters for the far left.
Well, and when we do it, because we do it. We've mm-hmm. done it with Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley,
sure,
especially.
Sure. But that's real.
But we
on the issues.
Yeah, we tell you that they're not Trump supporters. But then they go through the specific legal arguments,
mm-hmm.
and what we're saying is, if you're intellectually honest, and they are on the law, they have, even though they don't like Trump and wouldn't vote for him, they have the substance of the legal argument to back them up. So it isn't that they don't support Trump. It's, is their argument
right.
correct?
Right.
Is it truthful? Is it what the law truly is? And that's why they win. But you don't have that same...
You don't have it on the left.
...search for the truth.
It's only on the surface that right. they believe that by using... And what was the thing? And it wasn't Republicans or conservative, but they basically said, what was it, like 100 prosecutors, federal prosecutors or something. I forget what it was, but 100 prosecutors agree that it's it rises to obstruction or
yes.
something like that. Again, they believe that... And
means said, nothing.
It means zero.
Right. Tell me what the argument is. And
exactly.
you can't. Nobody's been able to tell me what the argument is. And the argument that they keep bringing up over and over again is the wrong legal argument.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter doesn't matter whether more people believe in the false argument.
Right.
It matters whether the argument is false or not.
I don't care if it's Kavanaugh or Gorsuch.
866-90-RED-EYE.
You're pumped for summer, but are your tires? As the temperature rises, so does the importance of tire maintenance. The key to staying on the road this summer is to stay on top of routine tire inspections. Inspecting your tires regularly for proper inflation and tread depth is essential to tire performance and increasing your vehicle's safety. Regular tire checks can also help you detect other issues and maintenance that may be necessary. Irregular tread wear, for example, could indicate your tire alignment is off, which can affect the performance, safety, and lifespan of the tires. Catching and correcting issues early on is the key to long tire life. Stop into a TA truck service near you for all of your tire service needs today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. If you would like to get in, the Supreme Court is set to hand down its much-anticipated decision on whether the Trump administration can include a citizenship question on the 2020 census. I bet you that's a 5-4 vote, yes.
Yeah, right. I don't know, in terms of what's left to be handed down, I think that's probably up there. It could be at the top. And today will be decision day, but we'll see where that falls. They could have some more decisions coming down, I guess, later in the week as they wrap up this session. But that's probably the one everybody is watching right now. You know, has been.
Well, it doesn't. They can ask whatever. It's a census question.
Right.
They can ask whatever they want.
Yep. Right.
Well, it may lead to a less accurate count because people might lie.
Right.
It could lead to a more accurate count. We know how many people legally are in this country.
Right. Right. So I don't know. I look at it as something that's going to be kind of a no-brainer, but I do think it will be 5-4 because of the makeup of the bench right now.
Well, and the fact that you have a significant number of those Supreme Court justices on the left that want illegal immigrants
yes.
to be counted
right.
in the makeup of congressional districts.
Yes. Right.
And I think if you ask that question to the American people, should the congressional districts be made up of American citizenship or anybody who is in a particular district, I know what would win that question.
Yeah. Yep. Sure. Yeah. It will be interesting to see where this falls down, and there are some other issues. You know, that if you think about where the high court is right now and what the president has, and it's not that in this session they are going to decide on a lot of those issues, but in the fall we're going to hear some interesting arguments on other issues, other key issues, which will fall into the decisions handed down this time next year, right in the heart of the election season.
Young, fresh, hip, and cool. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on the new Red Eye Radio.
All right.
Young, fresh,
hip and cool. It's like he was selling cigarettes or something.
Or deodorant. Fresh and cool. Fresh, hip, and cool. See the story where 40% of young people don't wear deodorant?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was over the weekend. 40% of young
people. What's the reason?
I just saw that.
They can't afford it? I mean, I get that part of it. But is it something else?
Because we've heard that deodorants are dangerous, which
aluminum
they're not.
Or whatever it is, is in the, you know, the content of, you know, the, so I don't want to. Now, there's the crystal thing.
Meth?
No.
I wouldn't use crystal meth as a deodorant.
No. That's frowned upon. That's not highly recommended, except by meth users. No, but there's actually a solid, and it's a crystal rock, and it's very smooth, and you wet it, and you use that, and I've used it before. It's, because I have allergies, so I have to find the right deodorant. And Bernie's right. We have too many choices. But I actually have, you know, skin sensitivities because everyone knows I'm very sensitive. And, but so I had to like quit using deodorant for a while and go to this, crystal, solid, which actually works very well. And I've used it before. So I wonder if they're going to that. I don't know that it's considered a deodorant, but you use it in place of a deodorant.
They didn't ask the question.
All right.
Why they don't, but it was a YouGov, nearly 40% of 18 to 24 year olds say they haven't applied deodorant or antiperspirant in the last month, according to YouGov Plan and Track data.
How many of those are gamers?
The number...
Because they don't get out of their chair for a month.
The number changes slightly for 25 to 34-year-olds, 31% of whom also haven't used deodorant in the last month. More than 37% of 25 to 34-year-olds say they haven't purchased these products in the last year, and 48% for 18 to 24-year-olds say the same. Now, for shampooing, they shampoo their hair as often as they're the next generation above them.
Which is how baby often boomers. Did they say how often people?
No, they didn't
I shampoo
say that.
Every day.
So do I.
Yeah. A lot of people won't do that.
Can you do that if you're a woman and you're getting your hair fixed all the time?
Actually, women with longer hair don't shampoo their hair every day.
Yeah.
It's not every day. I don't know if it's every other. It depends on the person, but, you know, every other day or every third day.
I don't want to get into hygiene stuff, but I just, I don't have good hair after a day.
Yeah. No. No. I need the... Here's what I do. I lather, I rinse, and then I know this sounds odd. Then I repeat.
Repeat.
See, I know you people. It says it on the instructions.
All right, I'll say this.
I do what I'm told.
I'll tell you this. Yeah. I shampoo. I never repeat.
See, told you.
Never.
You people just don't get it.
I'm a non-repeater.
There's a reason for it. You're not following instructions. We need to have order. We need to have order in this nation. How dare you not repeat? Wow.
There you go. Let me see.
Okay, when they say in the last month, that doesn't sound like, oh, I'm giving it up because it's not healthy. I don't like the idea of putting whatever chemicals on. I mean, I know that actually that people are concerned about that, and that is a reason for some, but... Doesn't really sound like that's what's going on here.
Here it is. 84% of 45 to 50-year-olds put on deodorant. 16% do not in the last 30 days.
All right.
78% of 38 to 44-year-olds have used deodorant in the past 30 days. 22% have not.
All right.
25 to 34-year-olds, 69% yes, 31% no. 18 to 24-year-olds, 61% yes. 39% no. An old friend of mine and I don't get, she works further away, but when she used to work near me,
mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. Mm. I'd get a call, Gear, mm-hmm. yeah, could you do me a favor? What? Could you drop off at the drugstore and get me some deodorant? I forgot to put it on this morning, and I'm at work, and it's really hot.
I've done that.
And I think two or three times in knowing her the last fit, I haven't done it in a few, probably 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
But in the first 10 years of knowing her, I probably did it two or three times when she lived near me.
Yeah, yeah. I've forgotten that once or twice. And the problem is that I'm, I'd be here, whatever. It's only happened a couple times, but it's like, I got to get home right away.
And only I can.
Mm. Yeah, right.
All right, let's head back to you on a variety of different topics, from illegal immigration to Bernie Sanders' plan to...
deodorants.
Bernie Sanders' plan. That's right.
Yeah,
Bernie Sanders' plan to get rid of deodorants.
Get rid of deodorants.
That's what it
there's
is.
There's no need.
That's what it is.
There's no demand.
All the young people like Bernie Sanders, and when he said there's too many choices of deodorants, they thought it was an excuse for them not to use it.
Right.
I didn't even think about that. Hmm. But Bernie Sanders wanting to pay off all student loan and make public university, college, and trade schools absolutely free.
Yeah.
We're talking about that and more in illegal immigration. We go to Ken in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Ken, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you. With AOC comparing the concentration camps
yes.
in Germany to what was going on at the border, the people in Germany didn't walk up and volunteer to go there. For number one. And unlike the people at the border, they can leave anytime they want as long as they're saying, I'm going to go home.
I think that having, to continue to justify it, and again, I'm not coming down on you because I've done the same thing, Eric, and I did it last weekend.
Right.
But I think continuing to justify and have to explain something that's so bizarre. I think most Americans clearly understand that Ocasio-Cortez is being delusional when she compares immigration detention centers to a concentration
yep.
camp.
Yep.
And Omar coming out and saying, well, they're all put in a place and it's concentrated, therefore, or no, they're all like in a camp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's concentrated, so it's a concentration camp.
Yeah, so technically,
was just the most bizarre, ludicrous, hilarious thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that, I had to double check to make sure it wasn't the Babylon Bee or
The Onion.
The Onion.
Right.
I said, nobody's going to be that idiotic to say it.
Well, why would you jump into it? Why would you even jump into that? I mean, the question comes along, but you redirect on the question. You can ask Ocasio-Cortez, but do you agree with Ocasio-Cortez? We got a lot of problems on the border. I'll say what I say. You know how I feel about the border, and you can ask her about her comments, and you move on. But no, that's not how the far left works. You can't do that. You've got to back her up. You got to be there.
Well, they're in a camp, mm-hmm. and they've been serving them orange juice, and the orange juice is concentrated, so it's a concentration camp.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bizarre it was what she said.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it really is odd.
But with that wing, with AOC, and we mm-hmm. talked about this last week when she did her latest video, it really is like a junior high school student is talking. And by the way, I saw this. Who was it? Was it Omar or Tlaib or one of them said, well, the only reason she's being attacked is because she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, that's not the case.
No, I think if you've listened to this show long enough that if it was any man who said that,
mm-hmm.
it's not, again, we don't care. We know that whatever it is comes from a human brain.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be female or male doesn't matter. If it's a delusional thought, we will bring it to you.
Yep.
It's that simple.
Yep.
Don't care that she's a female.
Nope.
That's the entire point. Well, because I don't care. Well, you're a misogynist. No. I just don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're male. I don't care if you're female. I don't care if you're in Congress. I don't care any of that. I just don't care. The only thing I care about is what you say.
We're the station that cares.
Yes.
We're the station that doesn't care. No, that's actually what we need to say. We don't care. We're the station that doesn't care. We don't care. Honestly.
Well, it's when people talk about the left always is, you know, they're always up on racism and sexism. And what they don't realize is the American public doesn't think like they do.
No,
they're the ones that judge everybody by skin color. Mm-hmm. It's the left that judges everybody by skin color, by sexuality, by gender. We don't.
Right.
And most of us don't because we don't care. It's not even in our universe. We don't care what your skin color is. We don't care what your gender is. We don't care.
Nope.
We don't care. We care about where you stand on the issues, and we care about if you serve government, whether you have a good character and are honest and have integrity. And if you don't, we don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. We will call you out on it.
Yep.
And we call out everybody when they misinform or when they lie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come up with a delusional comment, we'll let you know.
Yes.
But the delusion right now, and that's why we said, people said, that Trump guy, he's just nuts. Democrats every day,
mm-hmm.
hold my beer.
Yeah. Every day.
Every single day.
And it's not one person.
Yeah, you're right. It's the party.
It is the party.
It's the party. And it's where they're going. And remember, even a couple of months ago, we would get callers. You guys are making it. You're giving Ocasio-Cortez more credit than she's due. You're saying that she leads the Democrat Party. We don't get calls like that anymore.
No.
Because it's become obvious to everybody. She is the spirit and the intellectual idol.
The face.
The intellectual face and idol of the Democrat Party.
Yes.
Go on social media. Look at the average Democrat. Oh, she's so smart.
Yeah.
On what issue?
Yeah.
Name one.
Based on what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is bizarre. But it is where we are. It's where they are on the entire political spectrum. I mean, that's not anything that's likely going to change. It's only going to get worse between now and next summer. So here's my question. Huge faux pas, major trip, gets called out. I don't expect this to happen at all, by the way. AOC gets called out, and the rising star is falling between now and convention next year.
It could.
Then who? Then what is it? I mean, we know it will be about, by this time next year, the presumptive nominee. But then who's the star? Because there really isn't a star on the entire list of two dozen candidates right now. There's not. There's not a rock star there. So who is? I mean, if you want a rock star right now, it is AOC. She's the closest. So if she's not there, who is?
No one.
Right. There's no rock star.
There isn't one. And I don't see one. I don't see one coming up through the ranks.
Right.
Because she is partly because of her bizarreness.
Right.
She's
yeah.
risen to the top.
Yes.
I don't know anybody that could beat her on. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah. Again, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Just wait for it.
Okay. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. I got this one comment that Democrats should go after colleges who artificially raise their tuition.
Yeah,
no,
right.
If you want it, just get rid of make if you want to see college tuition go down, stop, ban college loans.
Right. Exactly.
Now, I don't really agree with that.
No, I don't either, because I believe there should be any lending institution that can create whatever products they want to, and then they can vet however they see fit any borrower.
Yes.
End of story.
Exactly.
They take the risk, and it's all on them.
Let the free market work. But the free money, the easy money, is why tuition skyrocketed. Just there's no difference. Mark Cuban pointed that out,
yep.
Thank goodness.
Right.
Met Mark Cuban a couple of years ago, and he said, look, there's a college bubble, just like mm-hmm. there was a housing bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You make money easy to get, the cost of the product skyrockets through the roof. This isn't rocket science.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. We say the world because we podcast. Get our app.
Yeah, get the app. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Android,
get a little
Apple.
Overzealous.
It's just so easy. Just get the app.
Get the app.
Just get the Red Eye Radio app.
It's free.
Yeah. It doesn't cost you nothing.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait a minute. That was...
Yeah, double negative.
No, that was Bluto from Animal House.
Oh, yeah, okay.
With the beer,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Right.
Was it him?
Was it him? I don't know.
I can't remember. All right, in the news.
We don't know.
In the news, from Animal House to the first Democrat debate.
All right.
Oh, this week, Wednesday and Thursday, I was telling Eric, I said, wow, the end of the week's going to be really easy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Each night, 10 different Democratic candidates get on stage. The interesting thing is Biden still has not apologized for his comment.
Okay.
And the other candidates are still talking about it.
I think Joe owes the country an apology on that. And that it is one thing to work with people in the Senate, as you have to do, as every senator does, I do, with people who you have fundamental disagreements with. That's one thing. You do that. That's your job. But it's another thing to kind of extol that those relationships. You cannot be extolling people who really were part of a disgusting system.
That's Bernie Sanders. Here's Cory Booker.
I listened to the full totality of what he was talking about. And frankly, I heard from many, many African-Americans who found the comments hurtful.
Now, Biden over the weekend did not apologize, but he did take Cory Booker to task, saying that when he used the term, quote, boy, end of quote, that there was no reference to any blacks in that particular statement.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not good enough, you know, for Cory Booker or really any of the other candidates out there. We'll see if that becomes a major issue.
Right.
I was reading the headline of the Drudge Report, you know, which is basically debate this week, you know, erratic Trump, is as if that's going to be the main topic. Look, that's only going to go so far in a Democrat debate. We all know they hate Trump.
Yep.
I mean, we all know that. I mean, so they're all going to talk about who hates Trump more. How will you get to that point? Think about this. You and I talking about the Democrats now as we head towards the debate. Bernie Sanders today to propose $1.6 trillion payment of taxpayer dollars to pay off all private and public college debt in this country.
Mm.
Pay it all off.
Mm.
And make public college and trade schools absolutely free for everybody.
I think we should pay everybody's debts, all their debts.
Why not? I think, yeah.
Debt is wrong.
That would be, no, but I guess my point is, you have them, we've gone free health care.
Yeah.
What, free money.
right?
You know, the whole free money thing.
Right.
Where's Andrew Yang out there? I haven't seen him lately promoting the fact of $24,000 to every household, $24,000 to every household. So we're talking free money up to $24,000 so far.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking a system to ensure that when you get to be 18 or 19 years of age, you could have close to $50,000 that would be paid for in taxpayer dollars. So you could buy your new house. I forgot who came up with that plan. Who was that?
That was Cory Booker, right? 50 grand at 18.
That was Booker. Yep. Yeah, that was Booker. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was Cory Booker's plan. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then you've got Sanders talking about eliminating everybody's college debt and then making public college and trade schools all free for everybody. So you got to keep upping it, right?
Yeah, that's the idea.
So the same thing with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep upping. You've got to, as a Democrat right now, except for Joe Biden, you've got to be promising everything in the world to you, which means the other thing is Trump. Trump is the elephant in the room that you have to demonize more. Because what you have to convince, what the Democrat candidates are thinking, except Biden, is we have to show that we hate Trump more than anybody else on this stage. Well, it's going to be interesting to see some of the rhetoric that comes out.
Yeah, right.
How are you going to try to one-up on Trump hate?
Well, and I think, you know, they've tried separately. I don't know how you do that on a debate stage.
Well,
what they tried to do separately was they would drop these little things to make themselves a greater victim as a result of him being elected. I went through a period when I was, you know, after the election where I was depressed or I couldn't, whatever. Constipation. I'm not sure what it's been different. I'm just saying, you know, people react.
I haven't heard the constipation argument.
Well, wait
yet.
For it. Just wait for
okay.
it.
Okay.
It's coming. Wondered. It's on its
All
way.
Right.
Just wait.
All right.
Any second now. But because let's face it, they are full of it. So the problem is that they have to every day one up the other. I'm not wrong on that. They have to one up the other.
They do, yes.
And what do you do? What do you do? You have to, okay, I'm a bigger victim. I mean, it affected me more than you.
But if they're going to hit Trump,
mm-hmm.
which we know they are,
mm-hmm.
and they only have less than 10 minutes, each one of them will have total time on all the topics.
Right.
You got to come up with something new
yep.
that's more hateful.
Yeah,
it's just going to be interesting to see where they go, where they think they can go on it, because that's the whole thing. You've got to one up on giving people free stuff. You keep seeing, keeps going up, up, up. Nobody's hit though. Nobody has surpassed Andrew Yang's $24,000 per household.
No, not yet.
That's one thing that hasn't happened.
Maybe Yang will surpass it.
Maybe he will. Yeah.
You know, we'll go $36,000 per household. Do I hear 48?
They still haven't said what we said Hillary should have done.
Mm. Yeah.
Remember? We came up with it.
Which one?
Anybody who makes under $100,000 a year gets $100,000. And since nobody cares about the debt, not even Republicans, you just say everybody gets $100,000. One-time shot of $100,000.
Yeah.
You promised
right. yes.
that.
Right.
Why? Look, there's 20 candidates on stage. There's a total of 24 still in the race.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should offer $100,000 and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And nobody, when somebody brings up the debt, you go, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody's going to
Republicans
worry about that,
don't
so
care about. No. I'd say Republicans don't care about the debt anymore. So let's just give everybody money.
Right. Why not?
And that's all I would do. I wouldn't speak on any other topic. Well, what about poverty? $100,000. What about college? $100,000. What about health care? $100,000.
What about Vegas? $100,000.
Every question is, we've got it taken care of. $100,000.
No brainer.
So, you know, but then again, the $24,000 would be $100,000 in 5.5 years.
Yeah. That's a pretty good rate of growth.
I mean, that would be $24,000 every year for 5.5 years. You'd end up with $100,000 as $100,000 free money, but it's not all at once. People in this country need immediate gratification.
And you use it to pay for college, and then Bernie finally gets elected and pays you more.
Yeah.
Oh, you use that for college. Oh, we'll give that back to you.
Someone has wondered, because Elizabeth Warren coming up with gay marriage reparations, because people that have been together who are gay did not receive the same tax benefits. And so she has proposed reparations now for, because of gay marriage.
Right.
We then have looked at this and said, first off, and this goes to my buddy Independent Bob, and we have suggested the group that has been treated the most unfair in this country, irrespective of your sexuality, as my buddy Independent Bob has been pounding at me for the last decade, single people are ripped off. Single people have to pay and subsidize for the life choices of people who get married and have children.
Mm-hmm.
It's their life choice, and the singles of America wish to know, why do we have to pay for it? Which is why I'm announcing I am the 25th candidate running.
Right. As an independent.
As an independent. I've got a better chance than Howard Schultz. $100,000.
Yeah.
And we treat single people fairly in the tax system. And my campaign stops will all be mixers.
Oh, there you go.
I'll have a dating website.
Just for liberals. Just for liberal farmers. Farmers only, liberals
and,
only.
And so somebody brought up on the show earlier, wait a minute, what about people that had to pay off their college loans for the last 30 years?
Right.
By the way, I did get that email from one of our great listeners who we said, how far should you go back? And he said 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, why do you mean 1980? Oh, that's when he graduated. He said, hey, that's how we think,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So we should go back at least 30, 40 years. Anybody who paid off their college loan, we should have college loan reparations, since that seems to be the topic of discussion this week of the freebies across America.
Okay, I'll add to it. Anyone who was alive that paid for college and has a degree.
Okay, that covers it.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go. And then, of course, the story of the 95-year-old who just finished their master's degree, wanted to go back to school to keep themselves busy, which would be great.
Woo! Would that be double dipping?
Could be.
I went to college when I was 20. I went back when I'm 95.
That's right.
You can't do that. Bernie yelling at a 95-year-old person.
Exactly. He's screaming.
Pointing the finger, wagging it.
Proof that Bernie hates old people. Nobody cares about your loan. It would at least be fair. Now, I mean, because don't the Democrats really want it to be fair still today? With everything, it should be fair. That means anybody who ever paid for college. That's fair, right?
Yeah. We're talking about fairness.
Right.
Everything should be fair. Everybody should pay the same.
Right.
Everybody pay the exact same amount in taxes every year.
$900 trillion later.
Why should somebody who works two... Let's talk about fair. Why should somebody who works two jobs and puts in 60 to 80 hours a week, why should they pay more in taxes?
Yeah, right.
Why is that fair? They are... in all likelihood going to be less of a burden on society because they are earning more money and able to save more money. Why do we tax them not only more, but a higher percent of their income? Let's go down this path of fairness.
Please. It should be fair. That's all we want.
And that's why we stated everybody should pay the... If you're going to be fair and everybody needs to be treated equally, mm-hmm. everybody pay the same amount, not percentage, the same amount in taxes.
Yep.
If you're truly for fairness, that's what you must uphold. Boy, I have fun doing this show.
We just want everything to be fair.
By the way, talking about delusional. Yeah, we're going to see that happen, Gear.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, Gear.
It's on its way.
It's a good idea, Gear. Yeah, it's going to be the total fair tax system.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody going to pay the exact same.
Oh, yeah.
I think I got a shot at this.
Sure.
I can promote the...
Oh, yeah.
Think if I run... I that shouldn't be a part of my plan, I don't think. It should be $100,000 in reparations for everybody.
Right. $100,000 in
but
the bank.
But there's no way I can do the fair tax plan because billionaires have to pay more.
Hmm.
And a higher percentage of their income.
Right.
So I can't win that one, can I?
Oh, say okay, so fair, and it's fair that the billionaires have to pay more, so fair for everybody else, fair tax, but billionaires have to pay on top of the fair tax. Double the fair tax.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll work it out.
The billion, okay.
Yeah.
Right. I can do this. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we got it.
I mean, we're going to be in... we're going to be bankrupt in a year under my plan, but I don't care. I'm in office.
Yeah, who cares?
I'm You'll set for life.
You're not going to affect you.
And
it doesn't
they,
affect them, does
and
it?
And if they impeach me for the plan, so what?
Right.
I'll go down in history.
Right. As a hero.
866-90-RUD-EYE.
Is homemade cherry pie part of your 4th of July picnic or holiday get-together with family and friends? Lance Honig of the Agriculture Department's National Agricultural Statistics Service says there will be plenty of tart cherries used for those cherry pies, as well as other processed and frozen foods. However,
tart cherry production, we're looking at about 290 million pounds this season. That's actually down 3% from what was produced last year, but still, that's not a bad-sized crop.
Honig says while states like New York and Utah reported average to above average crops this season, in many areas like the nation's largest tart cherry producing state.
For Michigan, big producer there, probably no surprise to folks. In fact, across most of the U.S., this spring hasn't been ideal. A lot of rain, a lot of cooler temperatures, actually leading to a little bit of a delay in the tart cherry crop. And overall, we're just expecting a little bit of a drop in production there.
Although average cherry production is expected in Michigan this year. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So to hear Bill Maher on Friday said that there's only one person who can beat Donald Trump in 2020.
Yeah, and that is?
Oprah.
Okay.
All right, and then. He said because she's the only one that can match him in the fact that she was on TV for ages. She was in people's living rooms for ages, and nobody can beat that.
Yeah.
Trump didn't win because he was on TV.
No, he did not.
It helped with his name recognition, but he didn't win because of that.
She would have a built-in brand, but she's going to have to get to a point.
Well,
if you're going to run for president, have a point.
Well, the advantage of Oprah is nobody knows specifically where she stands on the issues, and everybody loves her.
Mm-hmm. Right. Likeability factor, yes.
Likeability, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but so. Substance on an issue, I have no idea whether she can articulate anything. We said this in 2016. Trump's popularity came from the fact that he identified the problems that Americans care about.
Yes, exactly.
And that was it. He identified the problems. That's how bad it is. And we said that's what we get with the Democrat Party, though, that for 8 years was telling you the worst problems were climate change and race.
Yep. Here's your forecast.
We'll see another day much like yesterday in the central and southern plains, northern Texas, Oklahoma, into Kansas, Nebraska, over into Missouri is where that pocket of rain will continue today as Gulf moisture is drawn up from a low pressure system in the central part of the country. 5 to 7 day rainfall totals show about 5 to 7 inches possible right in the central part of the country where Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, and Kansas all come together. It'll be very dry in the west from the desert southwest moving up through California into Washington and Oregon for the week ahead. As we begin the first full week of summer 2019, we'll keep the thunderstorms in the forecast for Atlanta today. 91 the high for New York City, 82 and sunny. Chicago, chance of thunderstorms, 80. Dallas, 92 today. Kansas City, 85. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Disturbing on so many levels. Eric Hartley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Hartley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's talk to Carl in Albany, New York, about Bernie's free college plan and paying off all the debt and everything else. Hi, Carl. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. You know, actually, I'm from Buffalo, New York, and I'm heading down to New York. And I'll tell you, I caught your show. You guys just were kicking it this morning. I haven't laughed this hard since Hillary lost the election. You guys were just phenomenal this morning.
Thank you.
I'll tell you. Yeah, listen, this Bernie Sanders thing is a joke, to be honest with you. I don't know where he's coming up with this whole concept, but we're looking at trillions of dollars, obviously, you guys know that. And to pay off these student loans, what about the people who have been paying for 20 and 30 years? I know one person, actually two people, that are still paying loans off, and it's almost 35 years, for Christ's sake. And it's just absolutely pathetic. You're going to bury us in debt again. And it's just these people like Bernie don't get it. Why don't we start looking at the professors? Okay, I know certain teachers deserve good pay, but some of these professors, the ones in my opinion, you know, they sit at these college levels and they preach hate and, hate America and this and that and the other thing. You know what? Good luck asking them to allow people to come into those colleges for free, because the first thing they're going to say is, yeah, I'm not taking a pay cut just to let somebody in college free. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, the question would be, though, Carl, who does that? And that would be, we had a caller earlier saying that the federal government should be monitoring every college when they artificially raise tuition, and that shouldn't be the case. Just like the housing market, the federal government should get out of housing. The federal government should get out of the college loan business. If banks wish to do it and be responsible for it, fine. But if you really want to see college tuition come down, stop the bubble. Take away the easy money. Take away the free money. We're going back. Unfortunately, the Trump administration, as much as we support it, is going back to exactly what they were doing, which caused the housing bubble. Mm-hmm. We brought this story to you a couple of months ago, where they're now encouraging the banks, and it was the same guy, I can't think of his name now, who predicted the first banking crisis in 2008, and he predicted 1999, came out and said, here we go again, we haven't learned anything, because it's great. It gets the economy going temporarily by saying the federal government will start guaranteeing mortgages, will start making it so people don't need to have a great down payment, they don't need to pay a ton of principal. We can extend it out. We're doing the exact same thing. We don't learn. Republicans as much as I hate to say this, don't really care about the debt as much as they used to. There used to be protests. When I started as a talk show host in Niagara Falls, New York, outside of Buffalo, the first thing that happened when I was on the air was back in 1989, there was a huge protest in front of all congressional offices that we've got to do something about the debt. Republicans don't protest about the debt anymore.
No.
And that's the
And so that's
the sad thing is we don't seem to be we don't as a nation, and thanks so much for your call, we just don't seem to be concerned about debt as if it doesn't exist.
Right. And I think that that's where we with even conservatives moving more to the center or left, moving further to the left, as we have said, where's the outcry? Where's the outcry? Look at the makeup on Capitol Hill, certainly in the House anymore. After the 2018 election cycle, you don't have to look very far. There are few conservatives. You know, you have, and we got it down to, I think, 1.25 conservatives on Capitol Hill. True conservatives. By our standards.
That was last year.
By our standards. But that's because the American people quit caring, too. That wasn't their issue. Our audience notwithstanding, we know. But where's the push? Where's the outcry? Where is the rallying cry to end this kind of behavior in terms of spending? No, it's quite the opposite. And it changed. We saw it after the recession. Well, if they're going to bail out the banks, I want mine. And we believe that was kind of the first change in that mentality. And then we started getting calls like, it was 2017, 2018, after Trump actually became president, was sworn into office. And then it was like, you know, I used to be against single-payer system, but man, now that I'm thinking about it, now that I'm older, or my mom went through something and it became something different. Well, those aren't conservative values. So
look, infrastructure.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm for all making sure that we have good roads and bridges. I think the states should do the vast majority of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest change, and we've talked about this many times before, the biggest change came, if you want to know where we noticed it, it was, again, when Paul Ryan became speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not reverse Boehner's deal that Boehner made with the Democrats on the budget.
Right.
And the people that supported Trump and Trump, they all hit it big time.
Sure.
And they thought they were getting rid of the swamp with Boehner. And the problem with Boehner was he was agreeing with the Democrats too much. And we need to be cutting the size of government. And when Paul Ryan came in and said, no, any deal that was done is going to stay, he was viewed as the swamp.
Right.
We keep forgetting that the swamp was the Republican leadership who would not watch the purse strings of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
6 months later, Trump was saying the interest rates are low. We should borrow a ton more money to make the economy go. There was no complaint whatsoever.
No,
not one. I remember we talked about it on the show. And 6 months before that, and that was during, by the way, that was still during the campaign, that as we got into the spring and summer of that year of 2016, no complaint. It changed completely.
Right.
I mean, there was fury. And up to that point in 2015, if we talked the debt and government spending, our phones would be lit all night.
Yes. Yep.
And since that time, you can't believe that when you bring it, doesn't even make a blip on the radar anymore.
No.
I mean, there has been a monumental change in the Republican Party. And the other idea was, as we have seen, that when you saw the polling on Obamacare, and one of the reasons the Republicans couldn't repeal Obamacare, even though they claimed they did for a while, then had to back off, all they did was take away the taxes and the penalty. Some of the taxes and some of the penalty, is because they found out through the polls that Republicans liked the benefits but didn't wish to pay for them. And we said, if Republicans actually believe that, how are they any better than a fiscal Democrat
right.
or a fiscal liberal?
Right.
We like the benefits. We don't wish to pay for it. And that's the reality. Now, we're not talking to the people. We're not talking to our listeners, because we know. And I think you know that now, because when we first said that, our lines would light up saying, "What? But it's not us. It's not us."
Right.
And we know that in some there is a feeling of hopelessness in the direction that the Republican Party is going when it comes to fiscal matters. There's the other part of it that you feel if you attack Trump in any way, or the Republicans right now that support Trump in any way, including the government spending, the blowback will be intense.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So you don't do it on social media because, you know, we don't care. We don't. Either it's right or it's wrong. Doesn't matter who does it.
Right.
We don't care.
Right.
And I think people have realized we don't care.
We don't care.
Yeah. There are no sacred cows on our show. We don't practice political idolatry. There are no political gods to us. There are no presidents that we revere. There are public servants. And if they do great things, we'll say they've done great things. But they're all human beings.
Yep.
And they all make mistakes.
Yep.
And there are certain ideas that we have as conservatives / libertarians that we will continue and always to promote. But here's the thing. We don't hate anybody.
I don't know them enough to hate them.
Yeah.
I might get to know them later and then hate them. But I'm not going to do that now.
I agree with Eric on most things.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate the guy with the passion.
Yes, because we know each other.
Right.
What? Wait, what?
Hey, you know what I did watch over the weekend? And I didn't
What'd
know,
you watch?
I didn't know any of their music.
Yeah, what?
And I watched the documentary that just has come out, I guess, in the last 6 months.
The Osmonds?
No.
Oh.
But it was really, really, really good. And I could not have told you one song that they ever did.
Who?
The Jonas Brothers.
Oh, yeah. They're from around here, aren't they?
Yeah.
North Texas?
It was New Jersey originally.
Oh, okay. But they got famous, they lived here, right?
I'm not sure, but they had close ties to Dallas for but from New Jersey, and I just never paid it, you know, because they were like a teen band, and then it was an amazing.
It was one of the boy bands that you missed out on,
yeah.
You were up on an NSYNC, Backstreet Boys.
That's what it was, yes.
You know, and it was like, how did I miss the Jonas Brothers?
It might have been Genesis and Return of the Giant Hogweed, and maybe not early Genesis too. Might I say, but it was. Excellent documentary. Went through how they were kids, and then how their entire life changed. But they really didn't. If you see them, they really didn't follow the normal thing. It was. What was the Tom Hanks movie when he was Tom Hanks was the producer of the band that the 60s band.
Oh
gosh, I can't think of the name of the movie. Oh.
I keep wanting to say Someone Like You, but that's not it.
Yes. But it was like that. Remember in the record store the appliance store when their hit was playing on the radio. Well, you know where they made that thing.
Yeah.
Well, the Jonas Brothers, but they actually did make it. Their first big sellout was here, was at the Cotton Bowl, right outside the Cotton Bowl, right at the Texas State Fair.
Right.
They didn't even know it.
Hmm.
They had to be flown in by helicopter. They couldn't sell. They did a movie, but before the movie, they were playing small clubs. The movie's over. They didn't even know their music was being played.
Hmm.
They pull in. All of a sudden, they went from drawing nothing to drawing tens of thousands, 50, 70,000 in stadiums. And they were drawing a couple of hundred before that, before they did a movie.
Hmm.
They were like, they put the record out, then they did a movie. They were up in Canada doing it, had no idea that they hit, and all of a sudden they come back, boom. And they're teenagers.
Huh.
And it was, and then they broke up, and then they're getting back together again in touring this year.
Mm.
It was a fascinating documentary. And their music? Not bad. Very well produced, and they're good musicians.
I see why the kids liked it. Those young kids with their music today.
When I was young.
Those kids with their sold-out shows.
When I was young in Woodstock and...
Yeah. Right.
I'm sold. I remember when Grace Slick was young.
Let's not get ridiculous.
Come on.
I remember when Jefferson Starship was Jefferson Airplane. I'm so old, I remember when REO Speedwagon was actually a progressive band.
I remember when it was actually a truck. What happened?
I'm so old, I remember when Foreigner rocked. 866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL premium diesel fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair cost. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. It's going to be fun Wednesday, Thursday, the debates.
Wow.
So here we go, and it's going to be full-fledged. I do think they're going to try to make some good sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not saying by my standard they'd be good sound bites, but just entertaining, at least entertaining sound bites, because that's the only way that they can make an impression.
Yeah, right.
So
this is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.